Good evening, church. This evening we will be looking at the text that was read. And I hope that it doesn't throw us out too much with regard to our series. But as we listen to Bram, I'm very impressed that someone's been listening and was able to just share the background to where we're at this evening. And so I hope that as we work through the lesson, we can just put this morning's lesson obviously after this and understand how everything comes together. But we see that there's been a great victory for Elijah. But the thing is, as much as what there's a great victory within our life, we can never sit back. We can never just relax. Because when it comes to God and His work, the work can never stop. The work has to keep on. Unfortunately, there's always got to be people who are going to carry that work on. I'm sure many of us sitting here who really work hard at the ministry will be sitting here thinking, yeah, sometimes I just wish I could take a break, maybe for a year. Church? Am I alone in this? Okay. Alright. Nevertheless, the point is this, is that at some point we feel like just not doing, or we think that we've done enough, we've achieved our goal, right? And although Elijah's achieved an incredible goal here by going up against these false prophets, God's plan and His purpose was not completed. And so he still needed to continue on in faith. Because remember, from the beginning, the message to Ahab was this, is that there would be a drought, but then the rain would come again at a later stage. And this was God's word, this was God's promise. And so he had not fulfilled everything. Or God had not fulfilled everything that he promised to do. And if we like to have just sat back and ask, well, yes, what a great victory, what an achievement, you know, I can just sit back and relax now. Would not have defeated everything that God had planned and purposed. And so in the same way in our life, sometimes we feel that we've achieved and that's it, and we just want to sit back and relax. And God's saying, no, continue forward, and make that huge impact, build on the impact that you've made. Still with me, church? And so this is what's happening here in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. And we're going to see how Elijah pursues and continues to grow and allow God to fulfill His promise. But as we look through here, I just want you to take note of the two attitudes of these men. Verse 41 and 42 says, "Now Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower.'" Now notice that Elijah never ever says to Ahab, you know, it's time for you to repent. You've got to change your ways and allow God to rule. And the reason he never says that is because obviously we saw his attitude in chapter 19. But Ahab is an individual who's just not interested in God. And despite all these chances and these proofs being revealed to him, he is a man that will not change. So Elijah doesn't need to, or he doesn't bother with this. He just tells him to go your way and do what you generally would do. And so we can see the attitude of this man that he goes in verse 42. "So Ahab went up to eat and drink." He's focused on the aspect of replenishing his flesh. That's where his vision is. That's where his focus is, as sometimes many of ours are. We just want to focus on the physical and be sustained through the physical. And yet the word of God tells us that we will not only live by bread alone. Now look at Elijah's response. "But Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees." Church, what was he doing? What was he doing? He was speaking to God. He crouched down, bowed his head. It's a posture for prayer. And he's about to speak to God. So we see the two attitudes in these men. The one is focused on the physical and will pursue that. And the other one is so focused on who God is and the ability that he has within his life to make him greater, to change him, and to bring about victory. And what we're going to see here is that Elijah is an individual who teaches us how you and I need to begin to claim the promises of God. Verse 43 says, "He said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' So he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he came back seven times." Sorry, and he said, 'Go back seven times.'" But what we see is Elijah is claiming the promises of God. And I wonder, church, in our life, how often do we claim these promises of God? Now, throughout the scriptures, what we'll find is that there's a promise that is conditional, and there are promises that are unconditional. For instance, let's go to the book of Matthew quickly, chapter 21, and let's look at a conditional promise here God makes. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. And all these things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So church, what is the condition here? The condition is that whatever we ask, we need to believe that it will happen. And if we believe, we will receive. So it's very conditional, this promise of God. Now go to Psalm chapter 119 with me, and let's look at 105. Verse 105. So the text reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Understand that the promise here is unconditional, simply because the fact that God is saying, this is how it is, irrespective of whether you believe it or not, my word is a lamp to your feet. With me? And it's going to make your paths clear. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. It is an absolute truth. So we see here in these two texts that the one is a conditional, the other one isn't. And throughout the scriptures, these are what the promises of God are like. But it's important for you and I to begin to claim these promises within our life, because it encourages us, it strengthens us, it empowers us to be God's people and be able to take on these challenges that we face daily. And so we see that as Elijah crouches down in verse 42, puts his face between his knees, he begins to talk to God. He begins to claim the message that was taken. Do you remember in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1, the text reads as follows. Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." Here's the promise. He's saying that what? You need to go to Ahab, and then the rain will come. With me? Go and face Ahab, and the rain will come upon the earth. And so all he's doing here is continuing to believe in God and be faithful toward God's word. So he's claiming the truth of God's word by going to Ahab, facing him and his prophets, and then facing him again, speaking to him, and awaiting God's promise. How many of us await God's promise? Church, you're still with me? How many of us understand that God makes promises to us? And how many of us are focused on those promises daily as we walk? I wonder if I sat here this evening and we went around this room, how many of us would raise our hands and be confident, be honest, and say, "I'm so focused on that. I constantly think about the promises that God makes to me as his child." And if I just stand here for myself, for me to be honest to you, is that sometimes I think about it. Sometimes I'm aware of it. But during those tough times, it's so easy to forget it. It's so easy to not be focused on who I am in Christ and the blessing that comes with being in Christ. But church, if you and I are more focused on those promises of God, our whole vision and our focus will change. Because we understand that in believing in the promise of God, it means I'm believing in His Word, I'm trusting in the truth of His Word. So it calls for a serious amount of faith within our work. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1, where our series started. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." Understand that he went as God commanded, so he obeyed the will. So he had absolute faith in God's word, in God's will. And that's what you and I need to understand, is that as long as we're within God's will, we will continue to be blessed. And they're not only believing in God's word and his work, his will, but also his work. Luke chapter 1 verse 37 says that nothing is impossible with God. How many of us believe that this evening, church? Most of us do. Hopefully all of us. Now, if nothing is impossible with God, through God's our life and the ability he has to change, fix, mold, create. Why is it that we don't trust him more? James chapter 1 verse 17 says that all good things come from our Father above. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God says, I never change. Now isn't that a comfort and a confidence you and I can have? If God doesn't change, if God is the same, then you and I need to be very bold within our walk. And we need to stop allow Satan from hindering us and lying to us and telling us that we cannot. Church, you with me? We need to stop that right here, right now. You and I both believe that God is still God. And he's still on his throne. And the way in which we show this is in the way we live. Just think about it for just a second. What kind of a Christian are you really? I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think about this. What kind of a Christian, a follower of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, what kind of a disciple are you? And just think about the way you live your life. And think about the way you live your life for God to challenge us. Do you face it and hit it head on with boldness and confidence, knowing that you've already claimed that victory, church? Or do you approach that challenge very hesitantly, not sure which way it's going to go? And that's an important question for you and I to ponder on this evening. Verse 43, 44, and 45. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go back 7 times. It came about at the 7th time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. I want you to understand the power of prayer here. And James chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18 share this very important principle with us about the power of prayer within our life. Now, you and I know exactly who to go to in our time of need. In fact, it's almost as though we've been programmed like that. The minute we hit a pothole or a hump in the road, who do we turn to, church? Well, I hope we turn to God. Now we want God to fix things, don't we? But how about continuing to walk in faith, talking to God all the time, believing that he's going to do the things that he promised us he would do? And even when we hit those potholes, instead of asking God to help us, our response to him should be, God, how are we going to get over this? You with me? How are we going to get over this? Because I know you've promised me that I'm more than a conqueror. I know that you've promised me victory. But our approach toward that pothole or that hump, or whatever it is that's hindering us within our walk on our road, we don't approach it with confidence, knowing that God's already taken us over there or through that storm, whatever it might be. We stop and we begin to wonder, if I take one more step, I'm probably going to fall in here. If I fall in, I'm going to hurt, break my leg. I won't be able to walk on. And yet God told me that I will overcome. And so we see Ahab obviously on his way to this feasting, and we see Elijah in prayer. Just the way that you and I can begin to measure our spiritual growth is our attention span for spiritual things. In other words, you and I can begin to look and to see, how focused am I? How much do I want? How much can I absorb? How much do I want to absorb? And that can be our measuring stick or our barometer, whatever you want to define it as, to know how well you're growing. Your attention span for spiritual things
determines your spiritual growth with God.
And Elijah is so focused on who the God is that he serves, as should you and I. But I want you to note the way he prays, the way he talks, as he begins to talk to God, as he speaks and as he releases all these things that bother him throughout his walk with God. I want you to note that he is humble. Look at verse 42 now. It says that he is crouched on the earth and put his face between his knees. What does that show you about him? It shows you that he is so humble. The idea here is that he's not prepared to look at God. He understands how great God is, and he's bowing to the great I am. And that is what our response toward God should be always, every morning that we wake up, is that our head should be bowed as we walk, knowing that he is Lord. Amen. Look at verse 43. He's very specific, clearly, about what he's asked God for. Notice he says, go up and look toward the sea. And he told him to go back 7 times. What was he looking for? Well, he's looking for the cloud, for the rain clouds, promise that God had made. So he's humble in his approach toward God, and he's specific, because he's telling him to go and look. And are we specific about the things that we pray for? And the reason I ask you this is because when we're very specific about the things that we need within our life, that we ask God for, it means it's going to take some time. But generally our prayer is, God, help me today and get me through whatever comes. Well, God will. But when we're specific, it just shows our effort, the time, and the respect that we have for God. And he's earnest. He says, go back. Go back. I've prayed about this. God promised us. Go back. It must be there. It must be coming. And how often have you and I given up? Because the minute we pray and we don't see it, God's not answering prayers. God's busy today. Maybe God doesn't want me to have it. And we conclude the things that we want to conclude. And we forget about the aspect of the promise that God makes. You remember Matthew 21, 22? It says, whatever you ask in prayer, you must believe. And then you will receive. So begin to pray in that way. Let's go back to verse 43. Look at how persistent he is. Go back how many times, church? 7 times. He's persistent in his faith, in his walk, because he gets who God is. And you and I need to get to that point and begin to refocus and see the God that we serve. He's very expectant with regard to the things that he's asked. Question to you this evening, when you pray to God, are you expectant of the promise that he will make, or that he will bring about, rather, within your life? So what I'm asking you this evening, when you ask God for anything, do you believe that you already have it? Church? And that's a question you need to ask and answer. When I pray to God, when I ask God for anything, do I believe that he's already done it? Or am I so doubtful about the way I pray? And the minute we doubt, we will not receive. According to Matthew 21, verse 22. And the sin of unbelief cripples faith. It cripples our faith, it cripples our walk. It will begin to cripple the ministry of Jesus. 46. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. Church, the point here is simply this. Is that when you and I begin to trust God in the way Elijah did, and our faith begins to just explode within us, we will run with power. Slowly, we will begin to run with power. In fact, we will outrun. Remember Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says what? It says that we will mount up like? All right, wings of eagles. God will renew us. He will renew our strength. And we will continue to move and move and move.
So who is the source of his power and our power? Well, it's simply God. We are but merely vessels. When we begin to understand the source, we begin to truly live and not exist. Philippians 4:13 says, Church, what does the first two words start with in that text? Church?
Interesting, isn't it? I can. There's a definite statement made there. And there's a confidence that Paul brings about throughout the church. It says, you can. We can. Through who? Through Jesus.
And not just the odd thing. It says all things.
Everything. There's a complete faith. There's a complete promise.
Because the God that we serve is the God of all. And when we pray, begin to make serious preparation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 now. And it's a text that we're very familiar with. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. And let's just see one or two truths there this evening with regard to our faith and our walk. So Elijah understands the source of his power, of his strength, and the way in which God will empower us throughout our walk. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's serious preparation that you and I need to make daily within our walk. We cannot just get up and go out and think things are going to be okay. Our prayer life is so important. And the way in which we prep for the day is also very important. The outcome of the day is dependent on the way we've prepped for that day. Church, are you with me? The way in which we prep will determine the outcome of that day that you and I are going to live. So if we just blasé about it and we get up and we just take everything for granted, how do you think your day is going to turn out? And you know what else? You will not be victorious for God. But when you prep and you get up and you're focused and you pray, you talk to God, you're in His Word, you're mindful of those promises, those challenges are going to come even more. What you expect. But you know what? You're going to be empowered because those trials that you're facing and those things that Satan are throwing at you, those darts, those arrows, but only going to make you stronger and more immune to the sin that Hebrews talks about that entangles us. And it's a sin that hinders our ministry, our walk, our relationships, our lives in Christ. And Satan uses this tool daily, daily, to get us. And so verse 2 of Hebrews 12 says we need to do what? Because this is the key to all of our success in our walk with God. What does it say, church? We need to fix our eyes.
In other words, we see nothing else. The way that all the men in this church look at their wives, right? They're just fixed on their wives because there's no one else that matters. And men, this is where you say amen. Because you've just scored 50 points in your love bank. But the point is simply this, is that when we fix and we focus on something, nothing else matters. Because the only reality to us is what we see. Church, you with me? So imagine if our only reality is Jesus. How powerful do you and I become in our walk with God? And this is why Elijah was so successful in his walk.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 23:9. We'll close off with this text. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. And a corresponding text to this is Mark 10, verse 44. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Understanding what your purpose is within your walk is crucial. And as we look here, we see that one of the purposes that you and I have is to ensure that we walk a humble walk. In other words, that we understand that we're not perfect. We understand that we sin. We understand that we are weak. And we understand that without Jesus, everything we do or try to do is futile. Church, you with me? And the minute we get to this point and we can lower our spirit and submit and humble it toward God, He just blesses us. And the text in the Bible speaks about God giving grace to those who are humble. But what does He do, church? He opposes those who are proud. And the text says here, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. I'm not sure about you, but I want God to exalt me on that final day. Because He looks at me and He sees an individual who has emptied himself out and allowed the Spirit to dwell and manifest itself in my walk. And so, church, let's go back to 1 Kings 19 now, and then the lesson will be yours. Sorry, 18. And verse 46 is what I want to leave with you. The text says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And when you and I begin to really understand who we are and claim that promise, that truth, God's hand will be on us. In fact, it is on us. But the way we live doesn't always show it. So the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, as it is on you this evening. And because of that, we're able to gird up our loins. In other words, get ready to run, because God is going to give us some power that will make us conquer. Amen. As you go this week, may He strengthen you. May you understand how much He loves you. May you be mindful of His grace. And may His promises just flow throughout your mind. Philippians 4:8 is your memory verse for this week and for the rest of your walk with God. Claim it as truth, and you will redefine your walk with God. Let's stand and sing.